You know, there are a lot of denominations and groups that call themselves Christians and all kind of things like that. When you look at these groups, you know, it always helps us to go back to three key things. And by the way, in our membership training this afternoon, what we always do is we say we're going to look at three big areas, because if you can know these three big areas, you've got it made. What do we believe about the Bible? What do we believe about Jesus? And what do we believe about salvation? If you got those three, and you know, and you'd say, here's what I believe about the Bible, salvation and Christ and all of that, you're ready to go. In fact, there it is right there. It's right there. Now, there's a group I just want to mention because it's going to have something to do with what we look at this morning. And there's a group called Jehovah's Witnesses. I think we got it, Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, here's the deal that you may not have ever realized this. Jehovah's Witnesses, understand Jesus is mentioned in Jehovah's Witnesses, but he's not the God. He is a God. Now, they call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses because they say that's the name of God in the Old Testament. That's what they say. But we're going to look at this morning, and when we think about it, that the name Jehovah isn't in Scripture anywhere. Not Jehovah. We saw some names last week. You remember we saw the name El, and we saw the name that is the word Adonai, which is a capital L and little O-R-D. And then we saw a name Y-H-W-H, and that's capital O, capital R, L-O-R-D, all capitals. We saw those. But we didn't say, here's the name Jehovah from the Old Testament, because there is no name. So where did the Jehovah's Witnesses get their name? And can we say the name Jehovah? Is it okay? We'll see how it goes. We looked last time at five aspects of the names, okay? Here they are. We looked at the name God in the Old Testament, the name Lord, capital L, little O-R-D. We saw the name capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. You may not have actually recognized that. Sometimes people read the Bible and they don't really look at it. Did you realize that sometimes the name Lord has a capital and little letters, and sometimes the name Lord is all capital letters? Those are different Hebrew names for God, and that's how our Bibles make a distinction. And then we're taking the names El, which is the name God, and there are a few names connected with that in the Scripture. A lot of names, we're just going to touch on them. And then this name L-O-R-D, all capitals, that's Y-H-W-H. There's some names connected with them, with that name, and we're going to look at those. In fact, last week we saw the first three, God, Lord, and Lord. And this morning we're going to look at some El names and some Y-H-W-H, or sometimes called Yahweh names, and we want to see how it goes. All right, let's review for just a second. Let's start with the name God, okay? The name God is, in Hebrew, it's El, which is singular, and Elohim, which is plural. And so sometimes the Bible will say there was a false God, and they'll put the word El, E-L. Sometimes the word God is used for the true God. Sometimes the word Elohim, it just means plural for gods, and they'll say false gods, and it will be Elohim. But when it's talking about the true God, our God, it'll say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that word God is plural. And a lot of places, God, our God, is described as Elohim. In fact, most of the time, he's described as Elohim. And we talked last week, why is the name of God, the true God, plural? Well, there's two things. One, it shows the majesty of who he is, but also it is a veiled or an aspect reference of the Trinity. All throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, there is God exists in what three persons? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, if you talk to a lot of people, they'll say something like this. They'll say God the Father, or big God, is all through the Old Testament, but it's not until you get to the New Testament that you see the Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Is that accurate? That's not accurate. In fact, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That's God the Father. And the second verse says, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the face of the deep. That's the Holy Spirit right there. You can go to one of the Proverbs, and one of the Proverbs said, what is God's name and what is his Son's name? So when you go through the Old Testament, in the beginning, it says, and God said, God, Elohim, said, let us make man in our image. Who's the us? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So it's all throughout the Bible. So when you see the name God in the Bible, most of the time it's going to be Elohim, which is actually plural. But it's referring to the true God who is amazing. Now, here's what we do. Here's what we do. We respond by worshiping the true God of the Bible. We're going to look at these names and we're going to talk about how do we respond to these names. We respond by worshiping the true God of the Bible. Anything you put in place of God is called a what? An idol. And we don't think of idols today. We say, oh, I don't have any idols. I mean, we don't have any statues that we worship, and we don't have any shrines that we... But if you put something in front of the true God, it becomes a what? It becomes an idol. So you have to be careful, okay? The second name that we talked about last week was the word Lord, and it's capital L, little O-R-D. And that comes from the word Adonai, and it means master, it means God, it means sovereign, it means ruler, it means all of those things. And when you think about it, that's who he is. When you see a capital L and little O-R-D, it's referring to the sovereign ruler of the whole world. He is the Lord. He is the one that is majesty and the master and the sovereign ruler of everything. So as you look in your Bible and you see a capital L and then a little O-R-D, you say, oh, that's the name. What is the name? It's Adonai. Adonai. Okay, it means Lord. It means sovereign ruler. And how do we respond? We respond by trusting in God who rules all things. Who rules all things. That takes us to the third name, and that's the key, what I call the key name, and it's capital L-O-R-D, all capitals. It is, in the Hebrew, it's Y-H-W-H. Sometimes people say Yahweh. We're not even sure how to say it because they never said it. When they saw that name, Y-H-W-H, it's the personal name of God, they wouldn't say the name. Now, the Y-H-W-H comes from the Hebrew word Hayah, which is the word I am. That's why, and we already talked about it last week, when Moses said to God, who do I tell them sent me? He says, I am who I am. I am sent you. So God's name, this YHWH name, actually has an idea of I am. It has an idea of eternal existence. It's the personal name of God, and he is the ever-existing one. And so how do we respond? We respond as we know the eternal God. He is the what? The I am. Not the I was. And not the I will be. He's the I am. That means he's always existed and he will exist. Psalm 90 verse 2, from everlasting to everlasting, your God. So those were the names. Then we said that you know the name God is El, singular form. Sometimes God, they'll say something and they'll say, God something, and so they'll take the L and they'll put another name with it. I call it the L names. And the first name, we're just going to touch on them. There's a number of them, and if you want to do a study in which you go into a lot of detail, you can do that. I just want you to see just a few, and the first one I want you to see is one called El Elyon. El Elyon, which means God the high God, God the lifted up. Elyon means to be lifted up. So sometimes he's called God, the God who is lifted up. And so we sometimes call him the most high God. That's how we refer to it. And so sometimes in the scripture, you will find that God is the high and lifted up one. It stresses that he is the supreme ruler. It goes back a lot to the word L-O-R-D, which is capital L, which is the word Adonai, which means master and ruler. This means that he is lifted above everything. The emphasis is on that he's above it all. He's above it all. Look at Genesis chapter 14. I want you to look at verse 17 to start with. Abraham went and defeated an army and saved his nephew Lot's life. And when he came back, he met a man by the name Melchizedek. We're not even going to go into the details on who Melchizedek was or any of those kind of things. We will when we do a study on Sunday morning. But notice it says, this is Abraham, it says, then after his return from the defeat of Chelorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him. And then notice, and Melchizedek, king of Salem. Anybody know where Salem is? That's Jerusalem. It's Jerusalem. It used to be called Salem, which means peace. Jerusalem means Jehovah's peace. Melchizedek, king of Salem, came out and he brought bread and wine. Now he was the priest of what? Of God Most High, El Elyon. He blessed him and said, blessed be the God of Abraham Most High. There it is. Again, look at verse 20. And blessed be God Most High. Three times we see the name El Elyon, which means God who is the lifted up God, the Most High God. When you think of God right now, where do you think of God? Where do you think of him? Where do you think of God the Father? Where is he? Where is he? In the heavenly places? Is he sitting down? Is he on a throne? When Isaiah saw him sitting on the throne, what did he say? Isaiah chapter 6, I saw the Lord on his throne, high and lifted up. There it is, Elyon. I see God as the lifted up God. In Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2, David writes, and he says, I will sing praises to the Most High God, El Elyon. When we think about God, we think about God, not just God, but lifted up, powerful, above all things. He is above all things. He is supreme. He is the God above all. How do we respond? By praising him. What did David do? I will praise to the Most High God. What did Melchizedek do? Melchizedek said, blessed be the God of Abraham, the God Most High. Blessed be God. By the way, sometimes when it says to bless, does God bless us? Do we bless God? It says, but how do we bless God? The word to bless has the idea of praise. And so we bless God when we praise him. He blesses us in all kinds of ways. I mean, he doesn't usually praise us, okay? We're usually praising him. And so when Melchizedek says, blessed be Abraham of the God of the Most High and blessed be God Most High, he's not saying I'm blessing God. He's saying I'm praising God. So how do we respond to the God who is high and lifted up? Listen, do you imagine what it's going to be like when you see God on the throne? Has anybody seen him on the throne? Isaiah did. He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up on his throne. And there was these angels going around, and they had six wings, and they were flying, had eyes everywhere, and they were going, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And they just flying all over the place. And Daniel saw him. John saw him. He saw this throne. And he said, when I looked at this throne, there were all these people around him, these 24 elders and everything was around him, and these angels were around him, and there's this one angel that had four different faces and everything. And then I saw the one on the throne, and where his feet were, it looked like it was burning. It looked like it was a fire. And then it went up, and it looked sort of like the outline of a person. But he was high and lifted up. So when we see El Elyon, all throughout the Bible, you're going to see God's name is the lifted up God, the high and lifted up one. Amazing. I hope as we go through this, you'll go, wow, I never thought about all these names. I never thought about how I could praise God because he's the high and lifted up one. Okay, let's look at one more El name. And this one is very famous. Everybody knows it. El Shaddai. Remember there was the song, El Shaddai, El Shaddai. You know, and we sang it like we know what it means, right? What does El Shaddai mean? By the way, if you remember the song El Shaddai, it had El Elyon in the name of the song. I mean, they used that name in the song. So it's a great song. It's got a lot of names of God in it. El Shaddai. El Shaddai means God Almighty. And in Genesis 17, it says, when Abraham, Genesis 17, 1, when Abraham was 99 years old, I want to turn there with me just for a second. I want y'all to see something. Help me as we look at this, okay? Everybody there? Now, when Abram was 99 years old, who appeared to him? Who? No, not God. It doesn't say God. What does it say? The Lord. What name is it? What is it? It's not Adonai. What is it? It's capital L-O-R-D, isn't it? All capitals. What name is that? Y-H-W-H. That's the personal, eternal God appears to Abraham. And what did he say to him? I am who? God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. He gives him that name. He says, that's who I am. I'm El Shaddai. Now, what does it mean? You're going to be surprised a little bit. There's two views or there's two thoughts. There's a word, Shad, which this comes from, which is the word for breast. He's the El Shaddai. It could mean mountain. It could mean breast. The idea is that's where you're provided for. I'm the God Almighty who provides everything. So when he's called the El Shaddai, he is the provider. That's when we think about him and we say, my Lord shall provide all our needs according to his riches and glory. He is the provider. Look what God says. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord, the eternal God, appeared to Abraham and said, I am God Almighty. I'm the God provider. What I want you to do is walk before me blameless. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to establish my covenant between you. I'm going to multiply you. And Abraham fell on his face, and God, Elohim, talked with him. I mean, here he is, and the provider God, the Almighty God, tells Abraham, I'm going to give you everything you need. I'm going to take care of you. In Exodus chapter 6, verse 3, he is called God Almighty. So here's a great name, El Shaddai. So you've got YHWH, you've got Adonai, you've got El, you've got Elohim, you've got El Shaddai, you've got El Elon, you've got all these names of God, and they all mean something special. And some of you can tell, and some of them you can't. I mean, when you see it, he says, I'm God Almighty, you probably don't know that's El Shaddai. Almost have to know Hebrew to go look it up. But when you see capital L-O-R-D, you know that's Y-H-W-H. And when you see a capital L and a little O-R-D, you know that's Adonai. And when you see the name God, most of the time it's going to be Elohim, if it's Old Testament we're talking about. Okay? How do we respond to God Almighty? We respond by trusting the Almighty God to provide and protect. To provide and to protect. He told Abraham, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to make a covenant with you. I'm going to give you the land, the seed, the blessing, everything that I promised you way back in chapter 12. I'm doing it right here. I'm coming back again to remind you of what I'm doing for you. So we've seen the El names. El Elon, which means what? El Elyon? Huh? God lifted up most high. What does El Shaddai mean? God Almighty, the providing God. What does YHWH mean? The personal name, the eternal God. What does capital L little ORD mean? What is it? It's Adonai. What does it mean? He's the sovereign ruler of all things. Okay? So we see in these names. Now let's do this. Let's look at the YHWH names. Yahweh is the personal name of God, and it's the most important name. Now, I talked to you about this last week. We said that when the Jewish people would had this written down and they would come to the name, they wouldn't say it. They wouldn't say YHWH. That's why we're saying we think it's pronounced Yahweh, but nobody knows how it's pronounced because they wouldn't say it. In fact, they begin to make a substitution. And by the time you get to the 7th and 8th century, let me just show you what you have here. You have people saying, okay, we've got this name, YHWH. We probably want to say this name. And they said, yeah, but if you say this name instead of this name, they're two different names. What are we going to do? Well, they made up a name. How did they make up this name? I want you to see something. Okay, next slide. Here is the name YHWH. Here's the name Adonai, okay? They took the consonants from this and the vowels from this, and this is actually, this is a J. Actually, the Y in Hebrew, it becomes a J. Here's the H. This is actually a V, like Wittenberg. That's a V, and that's an H. That's an A, you know. They took it, and they said, here's a J. They took the A, eventually it became an E. This is the H, this is the O, this is the V, this is the A, this is the H. They made up the name Jehovah, coming and taking the consonants and the vowels. So they took the two names, YHWH and Adonai, put them together, consonants, vowels, and came up with this name. So when you see and people say Jehovah, and some of our Bibles will actually take the name YHWH, and instead of translating it capital L-O-R-D, sometimes they'll translate it Jehovah. Any of your Bibles use Jehovah? Some of them do, okay? To be honest with you, they probably shouldn't, because that isn't the name. The name is YHWH. So we'll see it. Now let's talk about these names. Here's the first one. There's a bunch of them, but here's what we're going to see. This is called YHWH Jireh. Jehovah or Yahweh Jireh. It means the Lord does what? He provides. I want you to look at Genesis 22. Just flip a few pages in your Bible to Genesis 22. Let's see this name. Okay. Abram was 90 years old, and God said, actually, Abram was 75 years old, and God said, you're going to have a son. And he didn't have a son. And then he got 90 years old. Then he got 99 years old. And God said, I'm coming back next year, and you're going to have a son. What was that son's name? When he's 99, what's his name? Isaac. What does the name Isaac mean? Laughter. Because they laugh when God said, Abraham, you're 100, Sarah's 90, you're going to have the baby. And they laughed because they said, that's not God. Are you kidding me? 100 years old, 90 years old. He said, his name will be Isaac. Laughter. This was the son he's always waited for. Some years passed. This son now is probably between 12 and 13, 14 years old. And I want you to see Genesis 22. Now, it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, I want you to take your son, your only son. Did Abraham have more than one son? He did. He had a son called Ishmael. But this is called the only son, meaning monogenes, the only begotten son, the special son, the unique son. He said, I want you to take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I tell you. What did he just tell Abraham to do? I mean, he didn't just go and say, get up there and just maybe stick him on the side real quickly and get up. What did he say? What kind of sacrifice? Burnt. What does that mean? That means you kill him, then you set him on fire and burn him completely up. Now, Abraham's mind says, okay, now wait a minute. You said that the promised Messiah and the promise of everything you said comes from me through Isaac. But now you're telling me to what? To kill him completely. So what does Abraham actually think? If I do what God tells me to do, and if God promised that the Messiah comes through Isaac, what's going to have to happen? What? What did you say? He's going to have to bring him back to life. The study that we're going to be doing on Sunday morning is Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham offered his son Isaac, believing that God would raise him from the dead. He didn't think he's going to get up there, pull back the knife, and God's going to go, ho, 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 wow, that's close. He didn't think that. He did not say that. He actually thinks he's going to kill him, set him on fire, burn him up, and God's going to raise him from the dead. Watch what happens. He said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah. Offer him there as a burnt offering in one of the mountains, which I tell you. So Abraham rose up the next morning, saddled a donkey, took two of his young men with him. They got the wood and all that, and they took off. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes. He saw the place. Now watch. Verse 4 and 5. Abraham said to the young men, stay here with the donkey. He's got some young men with him, right? He's got some servants with him. What did he just tell them? Stay here with the donkey. I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship, and I will return to you. Is that what he says? He says, and return. We will worship, and we will return. What does Abraham know? Let me ask you something. If God said to you, listen, you're going to have a son, and through that son will come the Messiah. Now go kill him. You're going to have to say what? Man, I don't know about this. This doesn't seem right to me, but God says to do it. And obviously, if the Messiah is coming through this boy and we burn him up, God's going to have to raise him from the dead. So, guys, us too, we're going over there to worship, and us too are coming back. And Abraham's probably saying, I hope so. Right? What would you be saying? Any of you in this room want to sacrifice your child? No. See? So what happens? Look at verse 7. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father. He said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood. Where's the lamb for the burnt offering? See, I want you to understand, he didn't tell Isaac ahead of time. Isaac is not a 4-year-old boy or a 6-year-old boy. He's called a lad. He's probably between 12 and 15 years old. Abraham is how old by this time? No, he's about 115 because he was 100 years old when this boy was born. So you're 115 and you got a 15-year-old son. Do you think you could catch him if he decided to run away? Do you think you could tie him down if he did not want to be tied down? So watch what happens. What does Abraham say when his son says, where's the burnt offering? Verse 8, Abraham said, what? God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. Who is the sacrifice that Abraham believes? He thinks it's Isaac. So watch what happens. He gets him there, ties him up. And by the way, I want you to understand that I think he said to Isaac, Isaac, it's now time to tell you the truth. God told me to kill you and burn you up, and then he's going to raise you from the dead. So I've got the wood. I'm going to tie you down. And Isaac, let him tie him down. Isaac had faith too. I mean, because you could say, I don't think so, Dad. I think you got eat something wrong or something, because that is not what I think. See? But what happened? Isaac laid on that thing, tied him up, and look at this, verse 13. Then Abraham raised his eyes. Abraham, verse 10, Abraham stretched out his hand, took the knife to slay the son, but the angel of the Lord called him and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here I am. Don't stretch your hand against the lad. I know you fear God. Then Abraham raised his eyes, verse 13, and behold, it was a ram caught in the thicket. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered that as the burnt offering. And Abraham called the name of the place what? What did he call it? The Lord will provide. Why? Yahweh Jireh. That's the name of God. God is the God who provides. How do we respond? We respond as we know that God will always provide for us, even when it seems strange. Even when you say, I don't know where that money's going to come from. I don't know how we're going to be able to do that. I don't know what God's going to do. I don't know how this is going to happen. You have to say, God is the God who does what? He's Jehovah what? He's Yahweh Jireh. He's the God who provides. It's amazing. Okay, let me look at the time. Okay, we're going to go fast on these next two, okay? Here's the next one. Yahweh Shalom. What does Shalom mean? It means peace, yeah. It means God is peace. The Lord is peace, okay? The Lord is peace. That's what it is. In Judges 6:24, God is dealing with Gideon, and God is the one that brings peace. That's what he says. And so Gideon calls him the Yahweh Shalom, the God of peace. By the way, I just want you to understand that there's two kinds of peace when we talk about God. There's peace with God and peace of God. Do you understand that? Watch this. Romans 5:1, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, we have peace with God. We are enemies of God. We, like sheep, have gone astray, each one our own way. When we trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, God brings us into relationship with Him, and we have peace with God. There's also the peace of God, which is when we live in the power of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace. That's the peace of God coming through us. So He is the God of peace, and that's what He does. He takes care of us and He gives us peace. So how do we respond? We respond by faith in Jesus Christ for peace with God, and we walk in the Spirit, and we have the peace of God. Yahweh Shalom. We got one more, and we're going to go quickly on this one. Look at this one. It's called Yahweh Roi. It means the Lord who sees. And I'm just going to put a verse up here. It's Genesis 16, verse 13. In Genesis 6, this is when Abraham and Sarah, and they had Hagar. And you remember when Sarah, after the babies were born and everything, Sarah got kind of mad at Hagar and ran her off. Remember? And she ran off, and she was by herself, and suddenly who appeared to her? God. And he said, I see your problem. I want you to go back and do what you're supposed to do. I'm going to take your son, I'm going to make a great nation from him. But I see your problem. And she said, you are Yahweh Roah, the Lord who what? Who sees. So look at this. How do we respond? Our response is we realize we're never alone. God sees and knows what's going on in our lives. You are never alone. When you feel alone, when you feel by yourself, when you feel that nobody cares about you, when you feel that you've blown it and nothing's going to work and you've let everybody down and your life is over and you don't know what the future holds and you think you're by yourself, God sees everything. He is right there. He is the God who sees. You can't run away from God. You can't hide from God. And there's never going to be a place that he's not with you because he sees everything. The God who sees. Our response is we're never alone. Now, look at this with the time that we have left. You got God, the true God. What Hebrew name is that? El or Elohim. Lord, L-O-R-D, the sovereign ruler. What Hebrew name is that? Adonai. Lord, at capital L-O-R-D, the ever-existing God. What Hebrew name is that? Yahweh, Y-H-W-H. El Elyon, the God who is high and lifted up. El Shaddai, the God who is almighty, who provides. Yahweh Jireh, the Lord who also provides and takes care of everything. Yahweh Shalom, the God who brings peace, not only peace with God, but the peace of God. And Yahweh Roah, the Lord who sees, the Lord who's always with us. Those are just some Old Testament names. There's a lot more. I could have pulled out a lot more. I just want you to see them. So here's the application, okay? Have an understanding of the names of God in the Old Testament. Think about the names. Let me throw some up there. Look at them. God, Lord, capital L-O-R-D, names connected with L, God Almighty, God this. The Lord provides, the Lord's peace, the Lord is the shepherd, the Lord, they're everywhere. There's one, the Lord is our banner. They're all over the Bible. Have an understanding. And what I want you to do, when you start reading, begin to notice every place where it says something about your name. I mean, when you read the Psalms and the Proverbs, the Psalms, how majestic is your name? It's everywhere. And when you raise that question, you say, what do you mean how majestic is his name? What name? Well, it depends on whatever name you're looking at. Every one of them have some uniqueness to them. Okay? Second, praise God for who he is. He is the true God. Let's worship him and praise him for who he is and what he does. Look at this right here. He is the eternal, sovereign, true God who is all-powerful, lifted up, who provides and protects and knows and sees everything.